Good afternoon. My name is Jenny Campbell and I was due to be your speaker at the Sanctuary meeting Friday week. It's now Wednesday, the week when Boris Johnson announced that there were to be no gatherings. And so I've taken the liberty of recording for the Sanctuary meeting a short word that I believe the Lord has given me. In fact, I was going to bring you this word on Friday week at your meeting. I'd like to deliver this word to you because I don't want it to be lost, and I wish you to benefit from this word at this time in our country's history. As you can hear, I'm not English, I am a South African, but I've lived in England now for 20 years, and these are truly unprecedented times. When I was fasting and praying about 5 weeks ago now, one of the things that I was praying for was the Sanctuary meeting in Harrogate at St. Mark's Church. And the word the Lord gave me was a peculiar word, and that's why I want to break it up a little bit this afternoon and give you a short clip. It won't be more than about 10 or 12 minutes about what this word means. The word was the horns of the altar. I was meditating on the word sanctuary, and I was drawn to this phrase, the horns of the altar, because the altar is part of the sanctuary of God. In the Old Testament, in the design of the tabernacle given to Moses on the mountain, he was told to make an altar and to make at the four corners of this altar, in Exodus 27 verse 2, a horn at each edge of the four corners, so that the horns and the altar were of one piece. So there were these sticky out horns, literally like the horns of an animal, on the four corners of the altar that went into the sanctuary of God. In chapter 29 of Exodus, verse 12, Moses was instructed to consecrate the priests, and he was told to take some of the blood of the bull which had been sacrificed and to put it on the horns of the altar with his finger. So straight away, if we're looking for symbolism here, we see that blood is a symbol of sacrifice. And in Leviticus chapter 4, verse 30, he's told again, the priest is to take some of the blood with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of the burnt offering. So the horns and the blood and the sacrifice and the consecration are some of the first ideas that we have about this business of the horns of the altar. The second kind of inference that we draw from the horns of the altar may be found in 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 50, where there's a big consternation going on in the court of Solomon. And there, one of the guests is in alarm in Solomon's court. It's not absolutely necessary now to look at the context of this, but this guest called Adonijah in verse 49 of 1 Kings 1, in fear of Solomon, went and took hold of the horns of the altar in the temple. Then Solomon was told, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon and is clinging to the horns of the altar. He says, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with a sword. The point about this is that any person who clung to the horns of the altar in the sanctuary of God was protected. And Adonijah knew this. There was no way that Solomon could lay a finger on him, because he'd taken his right as a citizen to take hold of the horns of the altar. Now, this is an interesting kind of observation from Scripture, that the horns of the altar symbolize a place of refuge. Anyone who was fleeing from, even for murder, if they went into the sanctuary of God and they took hold of those horns at the edges of the altar, and they handled the horns and they held on to them, they clung to them, they were not able to be arrested. They were safe, they were protected. So in Israelite law, anyone who took hold of those horns would be safe. So far we've seen two strategies of Yahweh, of God, in the Old Testament. The blood on the horns of the altar symbolizing sacrifice, something consecrated to God, and then a place of refuge and protection. The third section of the horns of the altar has to do with strength. In Psalm 75, verses 10, we're told, I will cut off the horns of all the wicked, says the Lord, but the horns of the righteous shall be lifted up. Horn, in this sense, is not to do with the altar. It is to do with strength. So if God is going to cut off the horn of the enemy, he's going to exalt the horn of the righteous. And then later on in Psalm 92, verse 10, you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured upon me. The horn was used in anointing. So oil was put into an animal horn and it was literally poured over the head of someone who was going to be anointed. And then finally, in the New Testament, if we look at Luke chapter 1, verse 69, in the great Zechariah song at the birth narrative, he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He's speaking here about the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. He's raised up for us a horn of salvation, a power of strength. So we've seen here that the altar is the place of blood, of sacrifice. It's the place, the horn is the place of protection, of refuge, of fleeing to, a bit like the Durham knocker. If you go to the cathedral in Durham, there's a great big knocker on the cathedral door. And in medieval times, anyone running from the law or running from an abusive situation or anything like that could cling to this knocker on the door. It was the same kind of thing. If you go into the sanctuary of God now, there's a sense of, there's a safety there and a protection. So it is here. So the blood is a protection, and we know this from Jesus. He's the blood that protects us. His blood protects us. It's a place of refuge. It's a place of fleeing to. It is also a place of power and of strength. Now, if we consider your sanctuary, the place that you gather to meet on Friday nights, this is a place where you find protection, you find rest, you find refuge, you find oil of anointing through the Holy Spirit, you find the pouring out of God's grace and his favor upon you. You find that when you walk out of there, you feel lifted up, exalted, as though God has lifted you up again, that your horn has been lifted up, if you like. I want to take that a step further and say that every day as Christians, we can go to the horns of the altar. We can go to that place of refuge, to that place of power and strength, to that place of anointing with the Holy Spirit, to that place of refreshing, to that place of refuge, to that blood sacrifice of Jesus, because it is by the blood of Christ that we are protected and set free. And I want to just say, in this situation where we are now with COVID-19 and the fear-mongering and the stuff that's going on out there in the media and every which way, we have to, as Christians, it behoves us to be different. And you say, how can I be different? Around me are people falling apart, they're anxious, they're fearful, or else they simply are indifferent and couldn't be bothered. Today is the day of reckoning. Today is the day when we have to decide, Lord, how do you want me to react? And what I'm really saying is that go to the place of the altar. Go to the sanctuary of God. Go to that place of intimacy day by day. Don't lose your prayer life during these crisis moments. Keep going there. And when you go, find the blood of Jesus, which protects us. It speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The blood of Christ covers a multitude of sins. It covers a multitude of diseases and illnesses. We can plead the blood of Christ over ourselves. We can pour that horn of salvation over us every morning as we rise. Every morning we can pour the blood over our families. We can make the sign of the cross over our door frames. We can literally take our finger and make with the blood of Christ, metaphorically, literally, we don't have blood, but we make the sign of the cross on our doorpost. You will not enter here, disease. And we cling to Jesus. And also at this time, you see, what this is it's a turning away from the idol of the nations. It's turning away from money because economics are in crisis. It's turning away from listening to every voice that's being spoken because we want to hear the voice of Jesus coming firmly through this. And we also want to cling to him. We want to cling to Jesus. And the idols that we all of it, I count myself in, idols of travel, idols of holidays, idols of family and friends and being together, and all the stuff of life we've been clinging to, in some ways, at a time like this, we are forced to cling to Jesus. So, Father, I just pray now that as this word goes out, that those of us who are hearing it will receive it as your holy word, Lord, that you will speak to us about how we can cling to you, Jesus, to your blood, to your protection, to your refuge, to your anointing, to your presence. Holy Spirit, would you come now and touch us with fresh vision for our lives and vigor and strength, that our horns as Christians may be exalted at such a time, that we will not bow down and crumble, but we shall rise up and be strong. In Jesus' name, amen.